years ago, I was reading a book by an Austrian cardinal. It was about a selection of homilies, and he talked about an invitation for each of us when we hear a gospel proclaimed to look for a mirror and a window that's present. We look for a mirror that can reflect to us some teaching of the faith, give us some insight into who we are as human beings. But we're also invited to look for a window, something that we see through for the sake of looking deeply into the life of God. I thought of that recommendation this week as I was thinking about today's gospel from Luke chapter 16, the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. And I'd like to say a few words tonight about how there is a mirror that's present and how there's also a window. And I'll start by talking a little bit about the mirror. A number of years ago, I think it was probably 10 or 12, reading National Geographic, and there was an article that I was reading about elephants. This happened to be the subject. So the article mentioned that elephants are one of five animals that pass what's called the mirror test of self-recognition. Most animals look in the mirror and they see an animal, but there are five types of animals that see a reflection of the self, which I think is kind of fascinating. So elephants are one. I take some guesses if you want to guess about the other four. Anybody want to offer? We're not going to leave until you guess all five, so you better be right. There's good food downstairs, so we don't want to wait too long. Any guesses? Hopefully somebody is thinking human beings, because we look in the mirror most days. We kind of recognize a little bit who's looking back at us. Great apes, very intelligent. They can see themselves. They recognize the self, too. The last two are kind of difficult. Dolphins, very intelligent. They pass this test. And the last one is the most difficult, I think. It's a bird. Magpies. With all due respect to magpies, I wouldn't have guessed that they would have been on this list, but they are. So here's the point. The article went on to talk about elephants. But what is it if we're one of these five that pass this mirror test of self-recognition? How are we different as human beings? It's worth asking this question. We have an immortal soul, but we're also capable of self-transcendence. It's not just that we recognize the self when we look in a mirror, but as human beings, there's a way in which we see reflections of ourselves in many different ways. We might think of nature. We have an authentic experience of the natural world. It can be a way that nature mirrors back to us some truth about the wonder of being a human being, the breadth and depth of our personhood. Passage of time also can illuminate this a little bit. We might think about how the seasons unfold. As we observe them, they mirror to us, in a way, the passing of time in our own lives. But getting more to the point, I would say that it's possible for us as human beings to see a reflection of ourselves in one another. We're made in the image and likeness of God, and we're capable of teaching one another, by way of reflection, more about our own lives. And this is where the teaching, the lesson, coincides with today's gospel from Luke chapter 16. It's not just the case that the rich man misses Lazarus in his life, his brother at the door. He misses the mirror. There's a powerful mirror on display in Lazarus' life that can teach the rich man about his own life. It's a mirror that teaches him, it could teach him, the rich man, how he himself is also poor. It's a different type of poverty in the life of the rich man than in the life of Lazarus. But to be clear, there is poverty in the rich man's life. And this is where there's a powerful lesson for us. It's a great thing in life to come to understand one's own poverty. It feels like a setback at first, like it's pushing us back in our progression through life. But it's supposed to be a great gift when we realize that we're poor, because two great things happen. One, we recognize how much we need one another. This is partly the meaning of the church in the world. Many people find their way through an open door into the church through their own brokenness, their weakness, the folly that's in our lives. We recognize I need to be a part of a communion that's bigger than me. I need to be part of a house of worship that gives praise to complete me, to overcome this brokenness, this weakness, this feebleness in my own life. That's one of the great goods, by recognizing our own poverty. Here's a second one. It's just as good. It's even better. we recognize a need that we have for God. What a tragedy it would be like to go through life and think, I'm self-sufficient. I can take care of all the needs of my own being, my personhood. It's a complete illusion. When we recognize our poverty in an authentic way, we realize this outstanding, overwhelming need for God. Powerful then that somehow realizing our own weakness can be the path that leads most clearly to God. There's the mirror. In this case, it's a missed mirror that's present in the poor man, Lazarus, that could teach the rich man. So what about the window? I think there's a powerful way in which there's a window on display at the same time too, and it comes in the second half of the gospel in the afterlife. This time, there is a window into a type of separation that exists. There's a word that appears in today's gospel that doesn't appear anywhere else in the four gospels, the only time it's mentioned in the four. So we know that it must have some special significance. It's the word in English, chasm, from the Greek word chasma. It means deep divide, separation, the same thing it means in English. And it speaks to the divide that exists in the afterlife. But it's a bit ironic because there is a chasm in the earthly life between the rich man and Lazarus. But this divide, this chasm, is one that the rich man chooses, that he wills that there be a sort of separation, a divide between the two. So it's poignant, it's tragic in a way, that he chose the chasm in life, but in the afterlife, he didn't choose it, and yet he suffers from the chasm that exists. So it describes in a way the chasm, the rich man, but in a way it describes Christ too, the significance of Christ in our lives, because Christ is the one who overcomes the great chasms that exist in human history. We might think of some of the highlights of salvation history. To name the first and a real way in Christ's life, the incarnation. When God becomes human, a chasm of separation between humanity and divinity is overcome in Christ. When the Lord dies and he's resurrected, his victory over sin and death overcomes a chasm of separation that exists. When he ascends into heaven to be restored to the right hand of the Father, he opens up eternity to human beings, mere mortals such as us. In doing so, he overcomes a chasm. All of these have in common that there are chasms that we cannot overcome. We can't bring about God becoming human. We can't be victorious over sin and death. We can't open up eternity for ourselves. It means that we have an extraordinary need for what Christ accomplishes, and badly, we need him to be a part of our daily lives. We stick with the image of mirror and window a little bit more. We could apply these two to Christ as well and say, for us as Christians, he's the true mirror, because he mirrors to us the one after whom we're called to fashion our lives. All of life is trying to become more like him, but he's also the window for us into eternity and into the life of God.